Hello, and welcome to Behind the Adventure, where you get a behind-the-scenes look at adventures on Awe Island. I'm Christy, and I'm part of the writing team here on Awe Island. I'm here with Susie, creator and head writer and narrator for Adventures on Awe Island. Hi, Susie.
Hi, Christy. Hi, everyone.
Today, we're talking about Chapter 9, The Chosen Three. And usually, I like to ask my questions in chronological order, but today, I just want to start off with the chapter title. In Chapter 9, The Chosen Three almost becomes its own character in the story, because first the book mysteriously reappears in the restricted rare books room, and then it's taken away again and it might be too damaged to save. And then finally, Marie realizes that The Chosen Three in the riddle was pointing to the title of this book, not to a group of special people. So could you talk a little bit about how you designed the arc for this book? Like, why did you want it to show up in such a mysterious way and then be at risk of disappearing again?
Well, it's an interesting thing because it shows up in a very early riddle and nobody knows at that point in time that it's a book or what it's referencing. As a reader, if I would have seen that riddle, I would have thought it was referencing people. So Marie naturally made that mistake thinking that she, JJ, and Christian were the chosen three. Then later she finds out it's actually the title of a book that she needs, which is disappointing to her at first. But then it's even more disappointing because she can't even get her hands on the book. She finds it. It's gone. She finds it. She gives it to Darius. He sends it away and they might never get it back. And it's kind of a metaphor for life, if you will, in that in life, things get shown to us. They do get taken away just when we might realize we really need something. And we don't always get the answers and the thing we want in the moment we want it. And so that's kind of the role this book is playing. And it's a recurring theme throughout the story that the kids are getting the information they need when they need it. So sometimes they're seeing signs, and sometimes they're actually getting the information in the hole. So right now she's seen the sign. The book exists. She got to hold it for a few seconds before she had to give it to Darius, but then it got sent away. And so she needs that book. She needs the information in the book, but she might never get it. And that's the truth about how things happen in life, too.
Wow. It's interesting that you've given me not just an outside world answer, but also an in-universe answer that they're getting the information when they need it. And we'll have to see where that comes up again. But you talked about a metaphor for life, things getting taken away. And that actually makes me want to ask my next question, which is, by the end of the chapter, Marie also finds out that her family might be moving away from Awe Island. She might be moving away from her best friends. Talk about things getting taken away. How did you approach writing Marie's worst day ever? And since you were talking about metaphors for life, what do you think that kids should take away from watching Marie face these big challenges?
Again, I do think that we all have worst day evers at different stages in our life. And Marie's experiencing her first really worst day ever. She never imagined moving away from Awe Island, and certainly not in the middle of her big adventure with her friends. And just when she's growing up, she's 10 years old now and looking forward to the future with her friends. And now she gets this awful news that she's moving away. I wanted it to be relatable. And I do think that many kids have experienced this kind of news in their life. And it is life-changing news. And it's a big deal. And it's scary. And so I wanted to approach it in as real of a way as I could. I got the idea, to be honest with you, because my best friend moved away when we were 10. And it was very hard on both of us. She had lived a block away from me for my whole life. And suddenly she was far away and I couldn't see her every day. And it was really hard. But we realized that friendship can surpass the miles and we can stay in touch in other ways. And yeah, it's different, but having a worst day ever doesn't mean that you can't get through it. And so Marie allows herself to feel all the feels, as they say, and she allows herself to feel sad. And then she needs moments of breaks. And so she takes some time to read books and have a break from thinking about it all, too. So I wanted a relatable moment for kids, and I wanted it to be real and something that they might relate to, either because their friend has moved away or they've moved themselves. And I want to give Marie a chance to move through this and to learn from it and to grow from it and to know that she's going to be okay even when she has a worst day ever.
I also had one of my best friends move away when I was like 8. I do think it's a very relatable thing to have happen. But you talked about being able to take breaks from the sadness, the hard things. So let's take a break ourselves and talk about something that is more one of the sweeter moments in this chapter. In part one, we got to see Marie reading more of her fly-up letters from her classmates. And we get to hear the kind and very specific things that they appreciate about her.
It was important to me to have the listeners be able to hear Marie's fly-up letters because I think they're a really cool idea. It means a lot to Marie. And if you think about it, what if you were to receive a whole stack of letters from people, some people you knew really well, some people you knew less well, and they were all sharing things that they admired about you or appreciated that you did. They were recognizing kindnesses you did or actions you took or memories that they shared with you. It warms your heart. It feels really good because we don't often get the chance to hear that kind of feedback, especially en masse from many people all at once. And so I hope that the listeners enjoy hearing the letters as much as Marie enjoys reading them.
I think it showed us a little more of a window into Marie's character because we get to hear that she's creative and she helped her friend with a play and she's kind and encouraging. So I also thought that was really interesting to hear.
Yeah, it's fun. It hopefully feels very real. I'm hoping that the listeners are on the journey with her. And those little bits of information are helpful in connecting.
I love it. Another triumphant moment in chapter 9 is when Marie, JJ, and Christian discover that mysterious butterfly clover symbol is in the tiles of the civic building. I love that scene. It felt very cinematic. Like I could imagine the camera panning from the floor to the ceiling. The reason I bring this up is because I was curious why you decided to put such an important clue in a place that they'd already been but didn't notice before.
I did it for a few reasons. I knew that room was significant the first time I had them visit it. But at that time, those symbols in the floor were covered. And they didn't know that the blue tile in the ceiling was significant. So they just thought it was a pretty ceiling. And so the second time that they visit it, they see the room with new eyes. It's cleared out. There's no furniture. There's no carpeting. They can see the floor clearly and see the symbol and know that that's significant to them. And then they can look up and experience the ceiling and see that blue tile that they've been looking for. And so it makes it interesting because I think for me anyways, to visit a space and know that I can see something with new eyes and different eyes, the exact same space, makes it kind of magical. It actually comes from something I learned in my theater training, and that is every time you go on stage, notice something new. And that's what keeps your performance fresh. And so this is a fresh experience of the room that they were in. They're seeing it in a different way than they saw it the first time.
Makes me kind of want to go back and re-listen to older episodes because perhaps there are things you put in that we might see with different eyes with new context.
Absolutely.
Okay, to wrap up, I would love to look ahead just a little without giving any spoilers, of course. What would you say to listeners who might be feeling a little worried for Marie right now? She might be moving away. She might be losing the next clue. I think she's in a tough spot right now, wouldn't you say?
She absolutely is in a tough spot. And all three of our trio are in a tough spot with solving their quest and trying to get it done before Marie moves. I hope that listeners are feeling the feels as well with Marie. That means they're on the journey with her. And I don't want to give away any spoilers, but whenever I hit points in a story where I'm afraid there is nothing left, I do use logic and I say there has to be something more. And in this case, there's a lot more to come. So stay with Marie, stay with all of us, and I hope you'll enjoy the journey.
Awesome. I'm so glad to hear that there's lots more to come. Thank you so much for speaking with me today, Susie.
Thank you, Christy, for all the great questions. It's always fun to chat with you.
Yes. And if anyone out there is listening and wants to ask us some questions, we would love to hear your thoughts and what's got you curious about Adventures on Awe Island. We would love to answer them. So keep tuning in to Adventures on Awe Island to find out what happens. And we'll see you next time.